Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Brian P. from San Diego.
Hi, can everyone hear me back there? I guess so. Okay, good. Good. I want to thank everybody for showing up. This is the third meeting, and I mean, the attendance just blows me away to look out here and see there's still people standing in the back. So I want to thank you all for keep coming back to the meeting. It was risky to get it started, but as we see, it's turning out pretty nicely. Let me see, where should I start? How about at the beginning? My name is Brian. I'm an alcoholic. And my story starts really about 18 years ago. About 18 years ago, I had an excellent family. I had three beautiful girls, a wife, a big house out in East County, and a good job, and, you know, not a white picket fence. It was more of a little brown wall around it, but it was home. It was home. In that home, we had our problems, and I didn't realize at that time, but one of the biggest problems was that I started drinking heavily. When my drinking first started, senior in high school, I think, not to the degree that I would have classified myself as an alcoholic. My history is I'm here from San Diego, born and raised here, went to high school here, went to college down in Louisiana, played sports, a lot of drinking in college. As most college campuses have, there are sections of the campus that have a multitude of bars all within walking distance. And so I made my rounds along with the other guys that I hung with. Had a good time. Went to class, graduated, got a pretty decent job with a big hospital company, and started hitting the cocktail hours, the happy hours. The job I had was as a recruiter, so I would be able to get a nice expense account, fly around all over the United States and Puerto Rico, and I see some people smiling out here, so they must have... They must know what that ended up as, and that is drinking my butt off, you know? I'd get in the airplane, fly to these places, have a couple of small little bottles on the way, land only long enough to go in these little rooms that I never even knew existed in airports. And so I interviewed people and, you know, went, did the deal and interviewed them. And then after I interviewed them, I would go check into a hotel and start partying alone. And that lasted not so anyone would really notice for about a good 5 years. Around that same time frame, I got married, started to have my children. And thought I really had it together. And that, too, lasted for a little while longer. And then, you know, I got to tell you, probably when the kids were 8, 10, and 12, things started to unravel. My wife and I then filed for a divorce, started to begin an ugly, ugly custody battle. And I, of course, was drinking heavier. And in my ego brain, and I can look back at it a lot clearer, but in my brain, I really, really thought that I could be a better parent to those kids. And no one could convince me otherwise. Now, that, in my mind, excluded the fact that I was drinking pretty heavily at that time. Still pretty functional, still held a job. Kept it all together, but would take these trips in the garage when all the kids were asleep and start drinking. And that lasted for a while. That lasted for a while, a good couple of years. The battle with the divorce went on, and right in the height of the divorce, I have my then 8-year-old daughter in the car, driving to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. She had a nice uniform on, going to Catholic school. I had my suit and tie on, and I'm driving. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, rear ends a car with no brakes, no skid marks, slams into the car. And I was knocked out for a few seconds. She hit the windshield and had a little cut on her forehead. And when I came to, there was this strange-looking gentleman looking in my window from the San Diego Sheriff's Department. And I was carrying, I don't remember the blood alcohol content from the night before, which I had drank one of those big bottles of wine and thought I'd just have a couple more before I go to work just to take the edge off. And so, you know, I mean, needless to say, right in the middle of a divorce and custody battle, that was a non-issue anymore. So I went to jail and got hooked up with AA. And I still really wasn't convinced that I was a drunk. You know, I still had that denial. But I went to meetings. First meeting I went to was down in Mission Valley called Drunks Only. And didn't want to go there. Sat there, I'm looking at all these people, you know, and about the same amount here, only it was at noon. And I was just listening to stories. You know, I was getting my court slip signed. I wasn't signing my own. I was going to meetings. And I was going to the meetings and going to the meetings and going to the meetings. And I slowly started to hear some things that I could relate to. Started to hear things that I was too afraid at that point to admit to. And that no one else knew except me. And so somehow I found myself a sponsor. And I found this sponsor in the weirdest way. And a year or so beforehand, I was jogging in Coronado. And literally was jogging past a guy. And as long as it took for me to pass the guy, going one direction to the other, I saw him in one of those meetings. And I knew exactly where I saw him at 2 years earlier. So I'm a drunk, I'm not stupid. So I was getting the message that this guy probably could be my sponsor. And so I went up to Bob and I just said, you know, and he remembered me too. That was even stranger. He knew exactly where we had met for less than a second. And so he started me on this program. And he started working with me, a patient man. The guy was a captain as a Navy SEAL. You know, and was just the most gentle and patient individual I have ever met. And so we worked for quite a while. Quite a while being about maybe 17, 16 years. About a year ago, a little more than a year ago, I stopped going to meetings. Totally disconnected from Bob. Disconnected from everything having to do with AA. And slowly started feeling this angst in the gut of my stomach. Guilty as hell. Knew I should be going to more meetings. But, you know, there's always something more important. There was always something more important. And in retrospect, I can see that this process started months before. Never opened the big book. Never. Dust was collecting on it. I can't even tell you where it was at this point, except probably in a bookcase. Now, I had been doing all the things that I was taught for a bunch of years. And in retrospect, since my head's a little clearer today, I really, really thought I had this wired. I really thought I had it wired. And I guess my message is a lot for the people that's got about 16, 17, 18 years. So my ego took over. I got this wired. Haven't had a drink in a long time. Things seem to be going pretty well. And then just as the book says, folks, just as the book says, happened to me. Quit connecting with my sponsor. Quit reading. Quit getting on my knees in the morning and in the evening. I slowly started to feel those isms starting to come back. Selfish, self-centered. Smart. It starts small with me. See, it starts with the small lies, with the little ones. And then it seems like that alcohol 600-pound gorilla was doing push-ups with me. Because what happened is one day out playing golf, I ended up having a Bloody Mary at about maybe 9:30 in the morning on a Sunday with some guys that I had gone to high school with. And the ride started. And what I mean about the ride started is it only took me about 3 to 4 months to be in alcoholism deeper and more violent than it has ever been in my entire life. What happens within that 3 month time frame is I didn't mess with the beer, I didn't mess with the wine. I used to drink these little half pints of vodka. And the reason why I drank half pints is because I could hide them better. Hide them in my pants. Now, keep in mind, those kids that I talked about earlier are in their early 20s. Okay? Very rarely, probably don't remember their dad drinking at such a, you know, since they were so young. So they started to observe some strange things going on. You know, me passing out. Their slick father, who really thinks that he can hide booze, was hiding booze and empty, I call them dead soldiers, in the couch. And then finding these dead soldiers in the couch. Going on for 3 months. 3 months was killing me. Physically, it was killing me. So what happened was that one of those darling little daughters of mine decided to rat me out to six of my best friends. And so you got to picture this, and I'm going to wind it up, but you got to picture me at 5:30 in the afternoon sitting on the couch, just down the bottle, and I'm looking up and I see six of my best friends come walking up the driveway. You know, and I was pretty drunk at that time, but not dumb. I knew they weren't just in the neighborhood. So they all did a 12-step, and some of them are in this room, did a 12-step on me right then. Took me to the Lemon Grove Alano Club, and that was almost a year ago. And so what my life is like today, I have to tell you, there's some major differences that I've experienced today. One is I certainly appreciate the fact that I am an alcoholic. There is no doubt in my mind. With that step one, I was able to get deeper within myself much more than I have ever, ever, ever been able to go in those 18 years prior. You know, today I can look at myself, and honesty means something different to me today. Honesty is not just being honest to you folks, it's being honest to myself. It takes me on a journey every single day to try to stay in the gratitude and not the expectations, to try to stay in the moment. Those two things are very, very, very difficult for me to do to this day, and they probably always will. The difference is that I'm much more aware of them. I know that when I get into expectations, I am getting ready to get disappointed or pissed off at someone. And as an alcoholic, I can't have resentments. I just can't be angry. So I have to keep everything and be more aware. That's the biggest gift for me today. The biggest gift is that I am more aware today. I'm able to go into these dark places that I used to be afraid to go into and admit to myself and to friends and to my sponsor what I'm really like. What I'm really like. I just got ducked, so I could go on for hours, guys. I could go on. But suffice it to say, I'm very, very honored that I was asked to speak tonight. I can't tell you how grateful I am to be sitting up here And Lord willing, in about a month and a half, I'll have my year back again. Great. So thank you very much.